The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Dr. Ron Yaros. He's an associate professor of mobile and multi-platform journalism at the University of Maryland, College Park. Good morning, Dr. Yaros. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me, John.
Geez, you know, 389 shows, I finally get a smart guy in the studio. I've been beating the bushes.
That's what you tell all your guests.
No one wants to come in here. They go, oh, God, I'm a bad joke, John Gilroy. I mean, come on. You know, I want to do something serious or something important. And I say, well, you know, a little sugar, you know, put some medicine, come down easy or something or other. So I wanted to get someone smart in here to talk about something.
Thank
I think
you.
That it's painfully obvious. It's many of my listeners work for the federal government, and all of a sudden their boss walks in their office and goes, Sally, you're in charge of vaccines.gov. And guess what? I want you to engage citizens and provide information that will improve outcomes and reduce costs. And Sally goes, well, what are my guidelines? And the boss walks out of the room. So poor Sally's there beating her head against the wall going, God, do I have to take a course at the University of Maryland? Do I just make this up? And what do I do? And so hopefully we can give her a little maybe one-hour summary here of, well, here's best practices. Here's what Ron thinks. Here's what John thinks. And maybe, you know, you hear four or five different opinions. You can form one that can help, you know. Geez, you know, I like I said before the interview, if we can help one federal information IT professional with their job today, now it's our job, you know.
Well, that's my goal. I mean, that's the research
goal. That's
I've
hard.
Been trying to, and I'm passionate about improving the communication to the general public.
Tell us about your background first before we delve into the interview, please, Ron.
Started out in radio and television and did that for 10 years, so working in Wisconsin and in St. Louis. And I have a science background. I'm really interested in science, technology, health, the environment. So I began to develop this intense interest in how to communicate complex but important information to the general public, because, of course, that's what we do on radio and TV. So did that for 10 years and then developed some educational software, ran a company that produced science and health educational software, and learned more about how, in particular, kids learn and what the trends were with the younger audiences as the Internet came about in the 90s. And then I returned to do specific research at the University of Wisconsin again with a PhD in new technology and exploring new ways and new trends and new behaviors of the audience, which is continuing to emerge, and it's a fascinating area.
And it's changing almost, you know, get your pencil out because ink is not going to be good enough to figure out what's going on. It changes so quickly. You know, when I heard that 3 to 5 searches on Google are with handheld devices, I said to myself, whoa, this is a tectonic shift. This is really a big shift. And I think anyone who's designing a website may want to take that into consideration, huh, Ron?
Yeah, and most of those searches, by the way, are conducted for local information. So there's a lot of personalization, much more on that mobile device.
Exactly what Google will tell you. Mobile is local. The desktop is maybe not as local because someone maybe, oh, Ron and I are walking through Georgetown. We're trying to find a good pizza place. Okay, well, find one here, Ron. And dang, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not going to be what is the meaning of life while you're walking down Georgetown.
Right.
Know, it's not going to happen.
And
is
another
it?
Component of it, talking to places like CNN, is that according to their metrics, there is a significant shift in that population using the mobile technology at different day parts. So that in the afternoon, when you have far less mobile use, it really skyrockets, of course, after work. I don't know, you know, there's no comment about what we're doing at work or what we're not doing at work, but there is a really big trend in how the technology is being used at different parts of the day.
I get dragged out and asked to speak all over the place. I was at Washington Network Group yesterday, and I was talking to a young fellow who has an app. And I said, well, you know what you can do? For example, if your app integrates with Salesforce, you can buy time, a day part in San Francisco for the next Dreamforce convention to just iPhone users And that's how you can bid. And he said, no way. I said, that's the detail we have today. That's talk about market segmentation, product differentiation.
Exactly.
All, we had time and geographic, and that's what mobile gives us.
One size does not fit all now. Use your specific medium and the target audience to communicate your message.
Let's go back to my Govies, vaccines.gov. So, okay, Ron, I'm going to hire you at HHS, and we're going to put you in charge of vaccines.gov. And so, get a little piece of paper out, Ron's to-do list. I mean, so where do you start?
I start with the word that you used a few moments ago, engagement. And this is not at all to criticize those who are producing a lot of really good, comprehensive pieces of information with multiple pages and even multimedia, you know, interactive graphics, visualizations, that's great. The problem is engagement is going to need to address three different types of audiences, not one, not that one person that actually has interest in that content and will engage with that content. Only 20% of the audience today will really scroll below what we call the fold. That's the main front home page. Well, what happens to the other 80%? Well, I argue that there are different ways you can engage those users who may not have the time and or interest in your content, but you could still, with just a few techniques, communicate what I call nuggets of news with explanatory information, not giving them vague headlines, not giving them long videos to watch. These are just some of the techniques. So I have tried to build this model that would, if used, we're continuing to research it, but the indications are you can now produce your content in different ways than we've been traditionally taught to engage three different types of users. The browsers, the people who are just scanning the pages, which is a large amount of the audience, the seekers, those who are actually seeking specific information, but again, will not have the time perhaps to engage with all of your content. An example is, I'm going to go to ESPN this morning to look at the latest score from the Redskins. I'm not going to read the entire page, but I'm looking for something specific. So I'm going to engage for that period of time.
Target acquired, move on.
And then you've got the engagers. That's the audience that we in journalism have been writing for, you know, forever. Here is a nice long story, or in the case of a government website, here is everything you need to know about this topic. Well, what has been done to funnel the scanners and the seekers to a point where they can not only engage even momentarily, but leave with some very useful information?
And that's really what it is all about. I mean,
yes,
if you're charged with vaccines.gov and you're trying to provide information, I mean, I know enough IT professionals that they're really serious about this. They go home at night, they worry, they sweat, they talk to their neighbors, they try to take classes. I have students that are trying to learn all this. And one book, by the way, is called Above the Fold.
Oh,
and it's a book about exactly why you should conduct everything above the fold, because your seeker there or your browser is going to look at it. And here's what I tell my students is that, you know, 8 out of 10 people see the headline, 2 out of 10 will read the article. That's the 80-20 principle again,
isn't it?
Lucky,
yeah.
Yeah, if you're lucky. So you're Ron Yarrow's now in charge of vaccines.gov,
right.
And so he says, well, geez, I have this theory called the Browse, Seek, Engage, and so you have three different websites then? You have three different types of content? So what do?
You take your information, and as opposed to just sitting down and writing that long-form narrative, okay, I want to make sure I start with the background, I want to give specifics, I'm going to explain the complexity, I'm going to justify what I want to communicate— you throw that model out and you say, from the perspective of three different audiences, how can I now write the headline? How can I insert what I call explanatory subheads in the content? Here's what I mean by that. As opposed to a full page of text, which I argue is a cognitive kickout, you're going to definitely terminate the engagement of the scanners and the seekers because they don't have the time to read all of your text. Why not put explanatory subheads about every 2 or 3 paragraphs so that a scanner or a seeker can read these subheads? And by explanatory, I don't mean 1 or 2 words. I don't mean the typical, here's the basic generic title of what I'm going to tell you about. It's truly a declarative sentence that if I'm scanning your content and as opposed to reading all of the text, I should be able to infer a really good detailed outline of your page by simply reading the headline and the explanatory subheads. Now you've communicated something to me that will increase the chances of my engagement. If I see something as besides just a full page of text, the research I've conducted suggests that there's a greater likelihood, a significant increase in the amount of interest you will take into that content because there's been some facilitation there of the information to you based on your needs, based on your time, and based on your interest.
I just finished Doris Kearns Godwin's book on Teddy Roosevelt called The Bully Pulpit. And I, in the evening, have a little dinner, talk to my wife, maybe sit down, and it's a 800-page book, and I wouldn't sit down and enjoy it. Now, if I'm looking for the score for the Redskins, I'm not going to sit down with a nice cup of tea and enjoy a couple hours of reading. I want it fast and move on. And I think that's there's somewhere in between there, the way federal agencies have to provide information that's not as brief, but it's not that detailed. There's some intermediate area that we're going to talk about after this break. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Dr. Ron Yaros, Associate Professor of Mobile and Multi-Platform Journalism, University of Maryland, College Park. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Dr. Ron Yaros, Associate Professor of Mobile and Multi-Platform Journalism, University of Maryland, College Park. I guess this wasn't a chair that was 20 years ago, mobile and multi-platform? Ain't no way that was 20 years ago, was it?
No,
it sounds
it
like a
not.
Recent type of a title, huh?
Yes,
I mean,
it is. Yes,
I mean,
it is.
I think they're at University of Maryland must be saying, yeah, well, maybe we have to let me think about mobile and how to communicate. Maybe
yeah.
It may be there. I mean, they only sold 800 million smartphones this year.
Oh.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
800 million this year? I mean, so something's happening with smartphones and people are absorbing information on a smartphone. It's just
a totally different behavior.
So we opened up the show talking about govies, and okay, I threw Ron in a chair over at HHS and said, you're in charge of vaccines.gov, what would you start with? He talked about types of viewers or people come to the site. So I would imagine, look, I'm an old geezer, I don't worry about vaccinations. However, 30 years ago, my kids were young, and Jen and I used to really talk about vaccines all the time. We'd read magazines and books and paper things and learn about them. That was an intense discussion in our house. So I guess I would not be a seeker and engager. Maybe an engager would have a young child. Maybe a browser might be me. So let's talk about these characteristics or these definitions that you have for people who would show up at a government website.
Yes. Whether you're a scanner, that is, you're online for some reason, you're waiting for a bus, maybe you're waiting to be interviewed on a radio station, or you are a seeker, that you know what you want, you just need to get it quickly, or you're an engager, you just have been diagnosed or someone you love has been diagnosed with a disease, you want to learn more. So you are going to have what I call individual interest. You have probably a very little requirements in terms of having to be enticed to read this. You need to read it. So there isn't a whole lot I need to do to engage you. But again, that's about 20% of the audience. What I am trying to do for the scanners and the seekers in particular is to generate what I call situational interest. You have little or no previous expertise in this content. And I have to create an environment, my webpage, my mobile app, has to provide a situation in which you will be more engaged, you'll be more comfortable, you will understand it, and hopefully you'll retain some of the most important information without having to read the pages and pages of content.
Let me read a fun fact, and maybe you can scratch your head, or maybe the listeners can agree. 74% of users are willing to wait 5 seconds or less for a web page to load before leaving the site.
That's right.
So if you're in charge of vaccines.gov, Ron, you better make sure it's pretty fast. I mean, that should be top of the, I would say responsive and then speed. Those are one and two.
Well, yeah. And speed is out of not my expertise. That's yours in terms of the architecture and the technology and the throughput. But once they get to it, assuming it's displayed, content is king for me.
And distribution is queen. Would you agree? I have written over 200 blog posts. I have certainly made every mistake in the world. I'm big into writing blogs and aggressively promoting them. And I have found that blog posts at around 600 words, that's the optimal length. I like to have a lot of bullets. I like to have blocky text. I like to have embedded tweets. I like to have quotes and call-outs. 600 words, is that a magic length these days, or am I just making this up?
I personally think that you should exploit the characteristics of the internet to put as much information as you want on there. Put 2,000 words. But if you add those other characteristics that I mentioned, the explanatory headline, the explanatory subheads, short video clips, not long 5-minute things. The average time that a video is watched online is 26 seconds.
Isn't that amazing? Say that again for the audience.
The average time, this is a broad metric, but in general, people watch video for an average of 26 seconds.
I have CEOs
no
that
5 minutes.
I want to have a camera in my face and talk to the audience for an hour, and I scream.
So if you're individually interested, you really have this intrinsic interest in the content, I can put up a 10-minute video and you'll watch it. But for the scanners and the seekers, the ideal thing would be to cut that video up into clips of 30 seconds.
You know, when
each.
I was in graduate school, I used to say, the only people who read the footnotes are the graduate students. Because they want to see exactly what Yao's got his information.
Well, it's similar. It's just a new technology now. Yeah, but same behavior, same strategy.
So if you're working for the government and your boss wants to put up a half-hour video about why you should get a vaccination, that would be what Ron and I would call pretty bad information. You want to maybe rethink that over.
Well, you're going to engage, the research would show 20% of the audience. If that's okay to you, then yeah, do it. But if you want to engage those who don't have the time or interest, then you would use this different format. It's the presentation of the content with multiple types of interactivity. Now, maybe this is a good time to just say all of this relates to what I call the PIC model, which is personalization of the information, interactivity with it. And it's a fancy word, it's called contiguity. It really means if you're going to put a photo, a graphic, or a visualization, make sure you address that right next to that graphic and photo, your textual explanation. Keep things together. Don't put it on another page. Contiguity. This is a really important thing because if people are learning new content, they really need to have this marriage of the graphic and the text. And the last one, which I invented, is called kickouts. And that would be all the things that terminate your attention to this content. I'm not an advertiser. They want to know what gets your attention. I want to know what's going to terminate the user's attention in this content. And it would be long videos, broken links, vague headlines, full pages of text, things like that.
I wanted to ask another cup of tea question. We talked about me sitting in the house reading these long, boring history books. But let's change gears here. So I'm sitting at my desk at the house, and I'm trying to figure out what to buy my wife for Christmas. And, 74% of users are willing to wait 5 seconds or less for a web page load. Okay, that's about right. Now, if I am driving to the store and trying to get directions, 60% of web users say they expect the site to load on their mobile phone in 3 seconds or less. All of a sudden, if your target's the mobile person, you better be really fast, huh?
This takes a lot of thought. Now, I have 70 students this semester. It's taken me a whole semester to get them to unlearn that term paper format, which is, again, I'm not saying it's inappropriate or no longer useful. It is. But in the context of mobile and new platform content, it has to be presented in a different way with different things that we have not previously learned and taught in college.
Have you taken any of the Google AdWords tests?
Not recently.
Well, they have this concept called a dynamic ad. And so what you can do at Google is you can say, I'm interested in gifts for my wife. I'm interested in sweaters for my wife. And so what can happen is Google can find out that you use that keyword, and they can dynamically create an ad and say, hey, Ron Sweaters in University of Maryland, $50 on sale.
Yeah.
And so they can dynamically create ads. Okay, we know that. Websites, by the way, can also dynamically create content depending on the visitor.
That's right.
So what you're saying is that, well, get a good hold on who's visiting there, and what you may want to do is maybe adapt or dynamically create content for that specific
personalization. Personalization. And the key thing about the model, which I try to stress as well, is that, and I'll give you a good example in a moment, we can all go online right now and find personalized content. We can find interactivity. We can find contiguity. We can find things that will not kick us out, that's really well written. I'm really talking about the ideal web page. If I had my ideal example, it would be a web page that presents all four of those things simultaneously. And a good example of that is your Facebook page. Personalization, interactivity, contiguity with your life, minimal kickouts, unless they have pop-up ads and things like that. There's a good example why it's so engaging to go on Facebook. So if we can apply that more, not exactly, but certainly borrow some of those techniques to information that would be arguably much more boring if it's just presented as a full page of text, I would argue the engagement would increase.
So, Ron, we get your job, HHS. We put you in charge of vaccines.gov. You bring some of these creative, original ideas, engage the audience. Would you start off with defining your persona? I mean, in my world, in the mean old crass commercial world, is we would go to Adele Ravella's site, the Buyer Persona Institute, and download her little outline and create a persona for our target audience, who we think is coming to the site. Does this concept of persona fit in with the way you like to structure websites?
It does, but I think you do add another level of complexity, and that is your target audience. Presumably, they know something about you already, or they have a level of interest and knowledge that might be above the average user. So you have a target audience. And I would argue, for instance, even blogs are primarily read by people who are interested in your topic, who know you, who have that individual interest. So, you know, yes, I think it helps. But again, my personal research and the efforts I make are toward government websites and mainstream news sites and any other site that wants to communicate valuable but complex information to the general audience as quickly as possible. So it is a little different of an animal than from the blogosphere. But I think that if you're a blogger and you can use some of those same techniques, it certainly wouldn't hurt.
Let's take a break, come back, talk more about nuggets of news and cognitive kickouts. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Dr. Ron Yaros, Associate Professor of Mobile and Multi-Platform Journalism, University of Maryland, College Park. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Dr. Ron Yaros, Associate Professor of Mobile and Multi-Platform Journalism, University of Maryland, College Park. We got the yin and the yang going here. Ron has a strong academic background as well as a practical background. I mean, you ran a company for 10 years, didn't you, Ron?
That's right.
And so you understand what a payroll is. I think you understand what this four-letter word tax is. It's three. No, it's a four-letter word tax. And you understand responding to customers and figuring out what's going on. And what we're doing is we're taking a lot of his brain cells and we're throwing them at our govies. So here's what happens. Someone walks into your office and goes, Sally Jane, you got to put together this website. And we just tossed out vaccines.gov. And I put Ron in the catbird seat. Okay, Ron, now you have to come up with vaccines.gov. What would you do? We talk about different aspects of, you know, presenting content, what kind of content. Short videos are better than long.
Right.
Easy to read is better than hard to read. Now, what is interesting is that there's this thing out there called Google, and they have this little device called Google Analytics. And a lot of people use it because it's, guess what? It's free. And there's a four-letter word. So it's free, and you can find out a lot of different things. And I think this is what the blog we're going to talk about is how to get more information. And how can, you know, so let's say we have vaccines.gov right now. Maybe your first step is, well, let's see who's going to vaccines.gov now and maybe see how we can improve it. Is that the first step you'd do?
It is. And the analytics, they're fascinating. They're cool. But you know what? They're here at this very moment, and they tell us exactly who engaged with what. But the missing question, which is the one I'm trying to pursue, is why did they engage with this? Why are these the subjects that are getting the longest engage time? Or there's a term called recirculation. That is, how much can you actually hold within your own website so that people will recirculate and visit other things in your site? Because, for instance, I'm looking at a live metric screen right now from a site called Gizmodo. It's telling me at this very moment there are 17,000 people approximately on it. The average time for engagement is, you want to take a guess?
Oh, I'm guessing 8 minutes.
33 seconds.
Wow!
And that is the homepage of Gizmodo. What is the recirculation of people going within the site and engaging with other information from other pages?
I can't even guess on that.
What's the percentages? Would it be
2%?
50? That's pretty good. 4%.
Four.
What does that suggest? They're not enticing people to engage with anything more than that home page again.
Yeah.
And for a whole 33 seconds, what can you communicate? You try reading something in 33 seconds. So I say we need to give the audience the cues of explanatory headlines and subheads. Now, let me explain this. If you want to sell something and you want to seduce someone to click on your link with a tweet and be vague, okay, that's true. And there are a lot of journalists who I have to sometimes wear a bulletproof vest at these conferences because I say, what I want to do is communicate the information directly to the audience as clearly as possible. Don't tease them. Don't try to seduce them. Don't try to get them to click on the link. If they are going to vaccines.com, I would especially suggest that people just get immediately what they need in the form of a easy-to-understand, informative, nugget of news. And if they want more, they'll click on it. That's the beauty of the internet. We're using that link to satisfy those who have the time or interest. What about those who don't? Let's engage them with more direct information. So I throw out the vague headlines and the vague tweets. And that's just because, again, I'm looking at communicating information. I'm not selling anything.
So what you'd say is that in order to be terrific, you got to be specific.
That's what I think. And to be terrific, you want to get as many people as possible. So what I'm doing with the analytics that I just suggested to you is we are now looking, and we're taking slices of this site every few seconds, and then we're going back and looking at the content that is being viewed, and we're trying to correlate what type of content gets the most engagement. Not that this is a ranking of this page is better than the other, but what really is that content doing to engage more people? Now, and this particular site, just also for another sideline, 12% of the people on this page came from within the site. That's the recirculation. Oh. But social networks provide 27% of the current traffic as I look at it right now. 10% came from links directly, links in those tweets or whatever. So just to keep in perspective, 10% of links, that doesn't say to me that links alone in a tweet are that effective. Social media is much more effective. And then I would argue that even more direct communication using the explanatory subheads, shorter clips, short paragraphs, don't give me full blocks of text. Keep your explanation and your terminology in the middle of your narrative. Definitely give that point some emphasis for those who are engaging. The engagers want that specific information, but don't start off with details or terminology.
And so your first day at work at vaccines.gov, GS13 Ron Yaros, would be, well, let's take a peek and see who's there and where they're, how long they're staying and where they're going. And maybe if we can find out what we have, then we can achieve the goals of the agency. And the goals may be a specific number of citizens engaged in the site. And I think the ultimate goal here is changing behavior. Which I don't even want to say. I mean, human beings and changing behavior. Maybe you want them to change behavior for health purposes or for other purposes. So, and there's all kinds of sites that trying to send out information, and that's the pursuit, isn't it? Is the change behavior at the
right.
end?
Right. And a lot of my students initially, they'll come to class, and I'll say, I want you to write 500 words about your favorite topic, your interest, your major. You have to communicate to me something that I don't know because I really don't know a lot, and. Inevitably, it's always background information first. It's the first two paragraphs of setting the scene, telling me the history, whatever. And I have to convince them, the inverted pyramid, as you know from journalism, start with that explanatory headline, give me a nugget of news, get to the point, leave the explanation in the background for later in your page.
So right at the top should be some kind of a grabber.
Absolutely.
And then some kind of a graphic element, and then maybe some kind of a link to something else if they want to pursue. That's a tasting menu. Hey, you want to have more potatoes? Yeah, some more about sweet potatoes and fried potatoes and everything else.
If I only have the time to read your headline, I should be able to leave your site with that nugget of news. You should have told me something I did not previously know if I'm a scanner or a seeker who doesn't have the time to read your content. If your headline is vague and I learn nothing, you have just eliminated 80% of your audience.
So if you are writing headlines for segments of websites for the federal government and trying to engage citizens, it could be for tax purpose. I mean, there's wildlife. There's so many different areas of the federal government. What I would suggest is if you are supposed to come up with a block of content and you have 4 hours blocked out for it, you may want to spend one-fourth of that working on the title and the headline, because if 20% read the headline and you really have to work on that headline, don't you?
It's a lot more difficult than it sounds. I mean, the students at first say, oh, just a headline, a tweet?
Oh,
I can
no.
write a tweet? No, it's a craft. It is how do you really use words without overusing terms that you don't need and communicating to the general public. So right now I'm not going to mention the newspaper site I'm looking at the moment, but here's one example. Deep South's last Democratic senator must fend for herself. Okay, if I'm interested in that, because I don't know all the details, I would click and I would read.
There's no specific state, no person.
If I'm a scanner, a seeker, if I'm on my mobile phone, if I'm waiting for the bus, if I'm at a light, because that's the only time I look at my mobile phone, of course, never during driving, you would read this, and I would love to know the specifics.
Somebody somewhere is doing something. Well, what? Well, I don't know. Is it?
So I understand this is provocative. I know that a lot of people, in particular in journalism, might say to me, no, that's not how we do it. We need those vague headlines. And I say, if you want to get someone to click, if you want to seduce them, if you want to sell something, yes, you need to be vague because you're hoping they're going to engage in it. But without the salesman hat on, I'm saying to just inform, let's inform. Let's get to the point.
You know, I've written 45 freelance articles in a different world. My first freelance article was State of the Art or Part of the Bait. And I wanted someone to page to a magazine. Oh, that's an interesting article. But today with the internet, no one's going to – that doesn't mean anything. You know, the last article I wrote, I was sitting with the CIO, and he turned to me and said, what is Amazon Redshift? And I read a blog post, what is Amazon Redshift? So if you see that, if you want to know what Amazon Redshift is, you're going to read it. If not, you're going to pass it by. But it all, the headline art is changing. It's just changing so quickly.
Exactly.
Let's take a little break here. We come back, we'll find out more about how Govies can design websites to engage their audience and talk more about some of your personal technology. Find out if you, in fact, are a card-carrying nerd. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Dr. Ron Yaros, Associate Professor of Mobile and Multi-Platform Journalism, University of Maryland, College Park. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Dr. Ron Yaros, Associate Professor of Mobile and Multi-Platform Journalism, University of Maryland at College Park. And we have thrust Ron into the role of running a government website dedicated to improving services for citizens. And what would you do? And we throw out questions for the last 45 minutes going back and forth and back and forth. And a lot of my listeners read blogs. A lot of my listeners are active on Twitter. Are you active on Twitter? Is there a Twitter handle for you, Ron?
Yes.
What should they use?
R. Yaros.
Hey, R-Y-A-R-O-S. Right. That's pretty easy
and
to follow.
And if you're a student, it would be Prof. Yaros. If you're interested in what I'm teaching my students, you could look at that.
Now, if you're interested in passing the course.
Extra credit.
Extra credit for Prof. Yaros.
Yes.
You know, people are listening to these shows, and I always get like security experts on the air, and people are listening going, this is a security expert. What kind of phone does he have? Oh, he has an Android. Well, that seems silly. He should have a black. No, maybe should. And so what I have done, Ron, is I have come up with a scientific 10-question test that will determine whether or not you are a card-carrying nerd, and I am going to expose you to your students right now with these 10 questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, first question. I break into your house tonight. How many old-school laptops desktops do I see floating around there? How
Zero.
Many desktops? Zero. That's the right answer. How many cell phones have you bought for yourself in the last year?
In the last year, two.
Two. That's a good number. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a personal blog?
Yes.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
iPhone 5.
iPhone 5. Interesting. No, 6?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. iPhone 6. Yes.
iPhone 6?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It looks like
I was thinking about all the other devices.
What's the most popular app on that phone in the last 30 days, let's say?
CNN.
Really?
Yep.
You are a news guy then, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. And I break into your house this afternoon without getting arrested. And how many tablet devices do we see floating around your house?
Three.
Hmm.
Two regular iPads and a mini pad.
And what was the most recent post in the social networking site?
The most recent post? Mm-hmm. You mean when did I do it?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Okay. Last 24 hours.
And do you have a mobile fitness device on your body anywhere?
I do not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Final question. Last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Oh, definitely electronic.
Wow, you're scoring pretty high in this nerd.
Yeah,
you're pretty high.
I feel
nerd
nerdy.
Here. You feel very, very nerdy. Whoop. I don't know if we gained listeners or lost listeners.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's, you know, maybe people turn off the radio. Oh,
yeah.
Time to turn off the radio now.
I mean,
this nerd.
Cares?
I thought he was a journalist. He's in fact a nerd. Oh, he's a disguise. Oh, he's got a disguise on here. This professorial disguise. He's really a nerd.
Who dies
this
is the terrible. Most digital devices wins.
Yeah. You know, during the break, we brought up a question that perplexes me all the time. I have three kids in their 20s, and believe me, I go home at night and beat my head against the wall trying to understand them, and maybe they try to understand me. I don't know, but I can't figure it out. And during the break, back and forth, do you think this generation, the students in your classroom and my classroom, do you think the people working for the Govies now, and I know plenty of 30-year-olds working for the government, very dedicated, hardworking, want to do their best, want to get information to citizens, do you think they're going to change? Are they going to pick up on this change? Or what do you think is going to happen here, Ron?
There's one reason why I've requested and I teach every semester a class of 70 new freshmen and sophomores coming into a general education class. Yes, it's in journalism, but I am observing and I am surveying. I won't say I'm tracking because I don't want to do that, but I'm definitely very cognizant about the tectonic changes that we're seeing in how these younger people just coming out of high school into college are using their devices in many different ways. In fact, yesterday in class, I said, think back where you were 10 years ago today. You were probably around 8, 9 years of age. Look at what you were doing at 8 or 9 with a phone, a smartphone, a tablet, or just a laptop. And they all admitted there was a significant amount of change that occurred in the last 10 years. Now I said, just imagine out of the approximately 10,000 babies being born today, that 10 years from now, what are they going to be growing up with, and how are they going to be engaging? I argue, it's just going to be mind-boggling of how much change we're going to see in the interaction with digital technology, and how what I've been trying to talk about in terms of maximizing engagement with more users is going to become only more and more important, not only to salespeople, but in my field of informing people of general information.
And I think when you maximize engagement, you know, there's this little phrase that, you know, I think everyone knows is called unintended consequences, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people, let's say if you're an NBA owner, let's say you're a hothead and you get on Twitter and say the wrong thing, bang, $500,000 fine. And so engaging is fine, but I think you have to maybe sit in Ron's class and, here's the ground rules. Okay, boys and girls, yeah. Here's the ground rules, because you can get in a lot of trouble, or your agency can get in a lot of trouble, or you personally can if you say the wrong thing. So right. I don't suggest that, you know, you put on your hothead and react to something quickly. Boy, what I do is I tweet something ahead of time. I do a spell check, and I wait an hour or two, and I go, does this make sense? And then maybe have someone else read it.
Right.
But engagement's fine, but boy, you don't want to hurt anyone or get in trouble.
Right. Or inversely, for the journalist who has to be first, who has to get that information out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, he has to be so careful.
Now he or she has to be accurate, but first, and making sure that that information is reliable. So yeah, there's for those who have to be quick, there's still another level of care that you need to take.
I think another merge here is upstairs. Here's WTOP. They have reporters out on the street with iPhones, and they have to do immediate reports. And and what I see is more videos on WTOP. I see more videos on Federal News Radio. I see longer form journalism on Federal News Radio. And I say, well, geez, Ron, on your chalkboard, you had, you know, like newspapers here and then radio here and then podcasts here. But maybe you have to draw a line through all of them. It's a horizontal whiteboard, isn't
it? Right. And another interesting thing that we've been really focusing on is how to shoot interviews with your mobile phone.
Would you have taught that 10 years ago, Ron?
No, not at all. And people really don't understand that, particularly an iPhone 6, you know, or an iPad, has a really good resolution for using, you know, 1080p television signals. And so, I mean, you don't even need that quality online. But if you are going to not only put it online, but also on a CD, DVD, then you'll be able to use your mobile phone in a very strategic way to conduct an interview that looks very professional. But what people normally do, I don't know if you want to get into specifics of interviews, but one tidbit is that a lot of people just hold their phone up in front of their face and they'll ask the question to the person they're interviewing, not realizing that the little microphone in these devices are horrible. Unless you have an external microphone, you must get that device close to the individual. So those are some of the things that we are discussing in class on how to use your mobile phone for other things other than just texting.
I sat down with one of the founders of Pixar and had a 40-minute interview last week. This guy has a PhD in biophysics and 3 Academy Awards. I mean, he's got the yin and the yang going.
Wow.
And really smart.
Nice.
And we talked a lot about audio. And you may have a good eye for the news, and you may be articulate,
right.
But you know what? If you're not sensitive to some of the audio capabilities
exactly.
of telling that story, you might as well not tell it, because people expect high. They expect it to be high quality.
It could be the best video in the world, but if I can't hear it, it doesn't matter. So I mean, to get students to actually extend their arm out and get it away from their face, and to get that microphone close to the individual. Anytime you're doing any interviews, just remember that. Don't hold it up to your nose. Get that device closer.
So if one of my listeners works for federal government now, And they're listening to this interview, and the people are talking about spring training with the Nationals and Bryce Harper's contract and everything else. Where would you suggest to get more information? I mean, do you write stuff? Do you have a blog? Is there a good source of information for my listeners to figure out how to structure these websites? Maybe an article you've written or something?
Yes, there are several articles, and they're generally summarized on explainmynews.org.
Well, that's pretty easy to remember.
Which is going to be very quickly now in the short term completely revised to demonstrate the PIC model that I just discussed earlier. So if you go to it now, you'll get the information, you get the research. And none of this is the world according to Ron. It is 5, 6, 7 years of eye tracking, lab research, surveys, and definitely tracking all of the students that I am seeing every semester to see how the behaviors and the preferences are changing with different types of information, both online and on mobile devices. But explainmynews.org in the next 30 days will have much more specificity in how you can lay out your content for the three different types of audiences that we discussed.
And guys like Ron know that they can do studies where they can watch the human eye and where it goes in a website.
Right.
It goes to the upper left.
Right.
Goes to the upper left, above the fold. That's why you have your content start in the upper left and have a call to action above the fold. Now, what's interesting, I have a student from Saudi Arabia, and guess what? In the Saudi Arabia internet, it's on the upper right because that's how they read. And he said, well, isn't this a fascinating approach? Perhaps I should write a longer paper on different types of alphabets and different calls to action because of eye studies, eye training. It's just,
that's true.
It's a whole different world. And it's just that, whoever thought of it?
and one of the research projects that you'll find on explainmynews.org is the eye tracking that suggests we were looking at how long they were looking at content. And in advertising, that's really good. You know, the viewing time is an important metric. The longer they look, presumably the more interested they are and the more they're learning. We found that longer viewing time obviously correlates to complexity of the content. It took much longer for the average person to understand what we were talking about was health or it was science information. And longer is not always better.
And longer is bad for a radio guy. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Dr. Ron Yaros, Associate Professor of Mobile and Multiplatform Journalism, University of Maryland, College Park. See you soon, Ron.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.